I'm Ted Baker, and this is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, episode 40, looking back at a loss at St. Joe's in Philadelphia Saturday and ahead to another NEC game with the Wagner Seahawks Saturday, 12 noon at Boswell Field. We're joined, as always, by the head coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. Welcome back.
Appreciate it, Ted. Thank you.
So in these last five games, you've led by two goals or more in all of them. You've led 2-0 in 4 of the 5. Is there anything that you can see or identify that leads from good start to disappointment?
Yes, we think so. We're scrutinizing film and talking with these players, Ted, as much as we should, to be honest. If you're as good as your record shows, as the great Bill Parcells always said. So we're spending a lot of time on not just chalking it up to a lack of focus or a lack of effort, which, you know, I really don't think there has been one. You know, it's one of the first thing we commented on after St. Joe's was, when you get into these losing ruts, there can be some judgment on the sideline. There can be some finger pointing. Thankfully, we don't have much or any at all of that, but we acknowledge the effort and, we acknowledge the commitment to what we're attempting to do. I think, there's just in certain segments of these games where we seem to be tossing around a quarter per game where we're not on both sides of the ball helping gain momentum, so we have a great first quarter offensively and a decent first quarter defensively. I think we gave up a few lousy goals, one and a clear and this and that, but then you go into the second quarter and offensively we have very quick possessions, very meaningless possessions, empty possessions as we like to call them, and then we end up playing a ton of defense. And so, if you look at a statistical category, which can sometimes be deceiving, but we've got 8 possessions in that second quarter in which we don't have any goals. And so what that results in is not only a goose egg on a scoreboard, it means your defense is playing a ton of defense. And so we've been talking a lot about how in these quarters of failure, both sides of the ball aren't helping. Either defensively, we aren't finishing a possession with a great clear, or offensively, we're not finishing an offensive possession with either a great timed possession with a high pass count or a goal. So we've been focusing a lot on these 4 15-minute periods or 15-minute games, as we call them, helping one end of the field, helping another gain momentum and continuing to play in a fashion that provides us a lot of stamina and a lot of force going forward, rather than having to recharge, having to reset, and having to talk about the ways that we are not focused or not executing. So we're built this week on how the offense helps the defense and how the defense helps the offense. And we're very hopeful that it provides us a different outcome.
You're down in this game 12-6, and at that point it just didn't look like there was any path back. It just looked like the oomph was gone, and then all of a sudden you light the fuse and get right back in the game. What happened there?
Well, first and foremost, our toughest guy, Ryan Archer, steps up and does what he does again, and beat their best defenseman for a couple goals, and then you see life, right? You see that, okay, well, our leader and our guy is never going to quit. He's never going to turn his head on anything. So, and that gave our sideline great life. It gave gave everybody on the field great life. You get some good play out of Brad Simas, and it's just, Ted, it's not anything sent down from our great creator. It's just good players making good plays, or making the right play. Ryan Archer didn't do anything spectacular. He beat his defenseman and scored the goal and moved the goalie to a point where he couldn't make a save, like we talked about all week. So he steps up in an avenue of execution. A couple other guys step up. Michael Christensen steps up and takes number 4 out of that game for us. So, it's just you're down a certain amount of goals. You can say whatever you want, but in those tough moments, your toughest guys need to step forward. So thankfully, we had a few guys do that. Unfortunately, in that fourth quarter, we couldn't seem to find the back of the net, and St. Joe's continued to. So, but in that 12-6 scenario, we're we've acknowledged what needed to happen, and in some cases did, and we're very thankful that a couple of our experienced guys took some responsibility on their back and helped that thing sway forward for us.
How did you feel about the faceoff game? Cole won the battle, but it was his worst performance of the year.
I thought we did a great job. You know, we spent a lot of time all week on neutralizing their best player, which I still believe he is. You know, Adam Shea, we knew would do his thing, and he did. You know, he grinded out good wins and very fundamental wins where he finished them with great ground balls. There are a couple instances where all over the field, I thought, you know, in the defensive end, we could have won matchups better. They got a few ground balls where their attackmen are coming up to play the ground, and our defensemen aren't as quick to that ground ball scenario as them. That's the nice way to put it. But our wing play was good. They executed well. They made sure they didn't get boxed out. They could infiltrate number seven's ability to pick up the ground ball. We didn't give up a single goal off the faceoff. And we also, we had some swing play with some short sticks and made sure that we took them and number seven out of their hang scenario. So I thought faceoff wise, you know, and what we spent a lot of time on that week, I thought we executed it in a high fashion.
You can track the way this game went by the faceoffs. We went back and ran the numbers. 81% of the time, the team that won the faceoff scored next in this game. So when you were off to the hot start, you were winning faceoffs. When Cole got a run, that's when they pulled the lead. You started winning faceoffs and got back in the game. It's just that faceoff is huge. It's not very often that the team that loses the faceoff scores next.
True. And, you know, that's the sad fact of how important the faceoff is, you know, but full transparency, Ted, we really want our men to think differently. We know as coaches, you know, as one of our best supporters, that they are very impactful on the flow of the game. You know, however, we want to believe that if another team wins a faceoff, that we can dig in, we can get a good stop, and then we can clear the ball effectively, and our offense can take some momentum away from a face-off scenario by having a great possession. You know, having a great possession doesn't always result in a goal, but Ted, for us, it usually does, because we have some pretty good offensive players. We really still believe that, and we always will. But, you know, what happened in that, and we looked at those, that statistical category too. I think we're 1-for-8 facing off in that second quarter. And then, but we also look at the offensive possessions we have, and very rarely do they last over 30 seconds. And so at halftime, we said, again, remember who we're playing. Remember what we talked about all week. Okay. If we're in a groove, or we're in a rut, however you want to phrase it, where we don't have the ball from a face-off perspective, that means defensively and offensively, we have to do our job. And specifically offensively, that job is making sure we recognize who St. Joe's has at that face-off X, and making sure we're digging that defense in, we're grinding that defense down, and we're getting our pass count up. We are very unselfish in how we play, and we don't take great, huge risks. I mean, we play fast, but we're focused on what the best opportunity is and not the first. And in that second quarter, we did a poor job of that. In the fourth quarter, we did an okay job of it. We shot poorly. We didn't put the ball into the back of the net. So, you know, in that avenue of you're losing faceoffs, which doesn't happen to us often, but when it does, we got to recognize how both ends of the fields can combat that flow.
One of the good news things is, as you head down the stretch, you're starting to get some people back. Anthony Detellis was back in that game, scored a goal. We saw a little bit out of Derek Madonna. We had Bobby Balzer in the clearing game, and we had Suli Bio back. So how is the health looking going into these important last few games?
Better, for sure. You know, these guys weren't. I don't want to say, I can't tell you what percentage they were at. They weren't at 100 for that game, but, you know, I think having them out there certainly makes a difference, Ted. And, you know, I think we still need a little bit of help on the defensive end, short stick wise. And it's not another body. It's just, you know, people stepping up and making great plays, either our two-way horses or our short stick D horses. I think those guys need to step up and play a better brand of lacrosse. But this health scenario has plagued us a bit, and we'll have a few other guys out this weekend as well. We got to take a look at what we're doing all over from a conditioning and a fitness and a weight room standpoint. We seem to have something going on with our shoulders this year, which is and last year, which is, you know, kind of strange, but a frequent injury. But we do have some guys back, and going back to even that Sacred Heart game, I still don't think there's a great excuse as to why we can't win with the guys we have on the field, unless we're making excuses, which we have chosen not to do. So we have plenty of guys on this team, Ted, that can play a great brand of lacrosse in this game coming up and all the games going forward. So we are, we're coaching them as hard as we know how to. We're actually giving a lot of ownership to our captains and to our leaders, where they can step up and run certain drills in practice, communicate what we want in drills, and just making sure that they know a peer-driven accountability is of the utmost importance here going forward. So the health is in a better place than it has been. And, what we need to charge our guys with now is whether we're healthy, not healthy, in between, the leadership still has to be great. So we're pushing our guys to make sure they understand that.
Under a perfect scenario, 3 out of 4 might get you in the tournament. Most likely it's going to take 4 out of 4. How are you talking about that, and what approach are you taking? Is it about these last 4, or is it just about Wagner now?
That exact point, Ted, you know me well. It's not even about Wagner. It's about a day. We've been talking about day one, all week. And, unfortunately we do talk about that scenario often. You know, since September, one of our core values is that next play, meaning, and how we translate it is we want a present mind. We want a present focus. We want to make, yesterday history, tomorrow's a mystery. Let's stay here now and be where our feet are, our famous Coach Hanna line. But, now it's real for our guys. They understand the scenario we're up against. I think the resilience remains. We had a long meeting this week with all of our seniors and our leadership council, which, full transparency, we thought have done collectively. We feel like they've done a pretty poor job. Of course it starts with us as the coaches, but we feel like a leadership standpoint, we think we can do much better. So, we're talking about what day one means, what present focus means, and how real it is to them right now. And, with 4 guaranteed games left, the T's are running out of the seniors' cup a little bit, and they need to show the urgency in their emotion, in their preparation, and in their encouragement and push to their teammates. So we are a day one team. We are a game-to-game team. You can't win 4 games, Ted, unless you win 3. You can't win 3 games unless you win 2. You can't win 2 unless you win 1. And then also we can't win 1 game unless we're focused on having a great week of practice 1 day at a time. So that's where we're at.
You got Wagner Saturday at Boswell Field. You've never lost to them since joining the NEC, but I don't suppose you want to hear anything about that at this point.
No, I mean, this is, we've never lost to them, Ted, but you've announced games where we've been in 3 overtimes with them. Yeah. And, we had a pretty good team last year and we went into overtime with them. And then, and I can't say in those scenarios, I'm proud of the way my team played, but they still find a way, especially at Wagner, they find a way to grind you down, and I think I remember the year we won a conference championship, we went to Wagner, played in 3 overtimes, with Frank Brown and Teddy Sisco and Cooper Stefaniak, these great names, and we played unemotional, we played flat, they scored 2 10-man goals where they just shot the ball the length of the field. They scored two goals, but shot the ball length of the field and went in. So we've been into grind matches with these guys before, but this is a much different scenario. You know, I'm not sure it matters who we play on Saturday. The focus is going to be completely on Hobart. It has been all week. And this is the best Wagner team I think we've ever played. They got a few transfers, a few Stony Brook transfers on defense, a couple new short sticks that you know, they play very good man-to-man defense. They've got a great goaltender. And they've got these two offensive guys that I think would play and start for anyone in our league. This big guy, Stephen Dwyer, who's, you know, 260 pounds and he actually moves really well. He's a pain in the butt. They got a midfielder, number 44, who's their second leading scorer, and he's a pain in the butt. So they've got some guys that can make a big impact on the game. But again, we, if we were playing the world team, the circumstances for us would be the same. We need to make sure we're as focused on us as we ever have been.
You've played several teams in a row that just like to get out and go, and now here comes this Wagner team that's going to slow everything down, and that's how they seem to take people out of their games. They're second in the league defensively, allowing less than 10 goals a game. What do they do defensively that makes offenses so struggle against them?
Check in and out of zone a bit, and they love their guy in the pipes. They do. I mean, we love their guy in the pipes. He's great. So I think they take advantage of their length. They've got big, what look like slow defensemen, but they're really not, you know, that kind of that typical Wagner defenseman that's rangy, that's tough. You know, they check hard. And I think they're well coached in that end. I they take a style from, you know, Billy McCutcheon's a Monmouth guy from a coaching trade to start, and his assistant the same. And, you know, they played good defense there. If you look at the lineage, the head coach from Monmouth they coached under comes from Notre Dame, where they did a lot of the same. They kind of pack it in, trust their goalie, get long and you know, kind of really make you work the ball well. And then they translate that to Monmouth. Now they're bringing that to Wagner. So, you know, defensively, they put that good goal, the good guy in the goal, and they recognize that if they have the ball on offense, it's tough for you to score. So they've adopted that mentality as well. So I think they do a bunch of different things, but we match up well, Ted. I think, you know, our parents, our alumni group, our friends of Hobart Lacrosse are going to see, you know, a very motivated group play on Saturday and attack a defense that has only given up 9 goals a game, not just be subject to what they're good at.
Coach Bill McCutcheon played at Johns Hopkins. Did you cross paths with him at all as a player?
He came the year after I left. And then, don't quote me, Ted, I think his dad's a Hopkins guy, is a Hopkins alum. And then he ended up transferring to Towson. And I actually coached against him. He was a great attackman for Towson when I had that year stint at Drexel, and we played them twice, once regular season, once conference tournament. So yeah, I know Bill well, and, I've been watching film for the last 2 weeks on them, and I hear him all game on every film, you know, barking loud and saying the right thing. So he was a very good player, a guy that has great lineage and is also proven to be a very good coach.
Against this Wagner team that goes so slow and plays such a grinding defensive game, do you try to change tempo? Do you try to consciously make this a running game for you and make them play your tempo?
To some degree, yes. But again, that's more for us, Ted, than it is for them. I think we're better when we're aggressive. You know, we've fallen into traps with slower teams before where we've seen other teams play them and say, hey, look, you know, they're trying to create pace and they're throwing the ball away and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I think we've made mistakes in that in the past, seeing what other games have looked like versus just focusing on what we do well. And so I think for us, our guys like to play aggressive. They like to, you know, take advantage of single way midfielders. And we like to, you know, take advantage of faceoff guys that try to get off the field. So we'll see what we can do. We're going to push this pace in an intelligent fashion. We're not going to push it to push it. We're going to charge, Archer, Tommy, Derek, and these guys on the offensive end to recognize time and tempo, as we always have. but also make sure they know that, you know, a fast paced game and you know, a couple goals early in a possession, you know, a couple goals from end to end or off of face off are certainly favor Hobart.
You've been listening to the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast. It's Hobart and Wagner at Boswell Field Saturday, 12 noon on WEOS. You can get your Hobart Lacrosse news on Instagram at Hobart Lacrosse, Twitter at Hobart Lacrosse, and also HWSathletics.com for all your Hobart and William Smith news. Coach, you just got to go one at a time. And if you get in the dance, no one asks you how you got there.
I hear you, brother. Hang tough for us, man. All our parents, all our friends, these guys on this and alums, these guys on this team are working their butts off to make sure this tide turns. All right. So we're going to put out a great product here on Saturday.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate the time as always.
All right, Ted.